Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as a meal at a new Houston restaurant you may want to know about. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is the Director of Events and Catering for Local Foods Group, Chelsea Thomas. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for having me.
Chelsea, before we get started with the news, we should clarify for people. Previously, when you've been on the show, I have described you as a staff writer for the Infatuation Houston. You are no longer in that role. You are working for Local Foods Group, which is the restaurant group behind, obviously, Local Foods, as well as Maximo and Milton's. So, Chelsea, you want to say, like, you want to give us, like, the 60 or 90 second version of why you decided to get back in the restaurant business after several years away from it?
Yeah, it has been several years. I left the restaurant industry in 2019, where I was at Nancy's for about a year and a half, helping them open, and still have much love for Nancy's. So I was gone for a while, was doing food writing, as listeners of the show will know. And, you know, I think I just was like, wow, I think I actually just really miss working in restaurants. I just love them so much. And I've, you know, friends with Seth Siegel-Gardner, the culinary director over at Local Foods, and him and I had an impromptu meeting, and it just sort of all came together. And they needed someone to help them with larger events and overseeing everything at different points across the restaurant group. And I was like, that sounds like fun. So why not? And, you know, being back in the restaurant industry has been great. I absolutely love restaurants. It's like riding a bike, getting back into service and talking to guests. And I couldn't be happier being back on this side of things.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm going to miss reading you on the Infatuation Houston, but at the same time, it means I never actually have to read that website again. So done and
well,
done.
I might be writing, you know, other places. Who knows? Be on the lookout.
Oh, well, who knows? All right. Well, you know where to find me if you want to.
Yes.
If you want to bring that dive bar guide to life on Culture Map, you know where to find me.
I do know where to find you.
All right. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, big news in the world of Burger Chan. Certainly one of my favorite burger places. Owners Diane and Willett Fang are stepping back from day-to-day operations. They are turning things over to Chef Ryan Stewart, who people may remember was involved with Pelly Pelly towards the end of its run. And then also when Pelly Pelly evolved into Mozambique, a very similar South African restaurant with a different name. Chelsea, I talked to Willett and Diane and Ryan about this pretty extensively. You know, from their perspective, they have a young child and they didn't want to do things like be open 7 days a week and add dinner service. But Ryan obviously is a veteran restaurant operator. He sees the value in doing things like that. And so, you know, they'll still be involved, and you'll probably see Diane behind the register at least, I'd say, probably a couple times a week from the way she was talking, but they're ready to take kind of a step back from devoting all of their time, all of their focus to Burger Chan. They've got a new pop-up going called Borrowed Goods. It's doing Singaporean food, which has been a passion of Willett's for a long time. And so, you know, this is a bittersweet moment, especially if you're a fan of Burger Chan, because one of the appeals, I would say, is knowing that Diane and Willett would always be there and keeping an eye on things. So, Chelsea, I've been talking for a while, so let me kick this to you. What do you think about this change at Burger Chan?
Well, I love Burger Chan too. It's definitely one of my favorite burger spots in Houston. And, you know, I get it. Running a business is already hard enough, and it's even harder with a young kid when you're trying to have a family. It's harder when you're trying to start another business. It's even harder with everything that's, you know, going on. So I can only imagine that getting someone who can help with day-to-day operations is probably a huge relief. I mean, you can't do it all yourself. Not everyone can. So having someone to step in and help with those things, and like oversee a couple extra days, oversee dinner, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you have to sometimes just find someone you trust and be like, all right, we're gonna try it. And kudos to them for getting out there and trying something.
Yeah, and you know, I think that trust factor is so important, right?
Yeah.
Because you've built this brand and people are very protective of Burger Chen, right? Every now and then
they
I'll
are.
See comments online, either on Facebook or Reddit or whatever, where someone takes a shot at Burger Chen and immediately like they're beset by people who are like, you just don't get it. It's the best or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking to Willett, I thought it was so interesting because, you know, he grew up in a fine dining context. He was on the opening team at Oxheart. And so he just does things like that's his approach. So, you know, like if you go to Burger Chen, like the knife cuts on tomatoes and onions and all of that produce is very precise and very consistent. And that's because like Willett has very exacting standards for how all that stuff is supposed to be done. And from his version, if there are people who embrace that and appreciate the challenge, and then there's a lot of other people who get hired as prep cooks or whatever and quit really fast because it's not something, it doesn't work for them. And so the idea is that Ryan and his team can kind of bridge that gap, right? They understand the standards, but they may also be able to implement some procedures that make them easier to follow, right? Instead of just like doing it by hand every time, that there might be, I don't know, some sort of like guide or something that you could, you know, maybe there's another way to do it. And Ryan understands that stuff. And Willett is very honest and said he doesn't really. And so it's that kind of stuff, right? That very frustrating for Willett, constantly churning through staff, trying to find like, they had a core group of people that they really rely on, but then getting enough people to handle the requirements, the demand from their customers was difficult. And so taking that step back and letting someone with systems, you know, procedures, that kind of stuff in place, that's what they're hoping happens.
Well, God, I love a system and a procedure. Let me tell you, those are two of my favorite things. And I love implementing them because sometimes when you're a business owner and you're really passionate about something and you want to share that passion with people, the details really do matter to you so much. And I'm sure it's really hard to be like, how do I put this into, you know, a context where I can trade it off to somebody, or I can give it to someone and trust that they'll kind of get what I'm going for without being there, standing with them, doing every little bitty thing. And so I think having someone who gets you to kind of reframe or repackage what you're trying to do to somebody and like translate it in a different way, that's so helpful. And Burger Chen is really precious, and it's important, I think, in Houston. And having someone to like pass that torch to a little bit. I mean, obviously Willett and Diana are there, but someone to kind of lean on, I think everybody needs that, you know? So I'm hoping that partnership bears fruit for them, because that would be so great for Burger Chen and for their new pop-up and everything.
Yeah. And you know, Ryan is saying all the right things, right? He's spent 5 months at Burger Chen learning all the procedures. They're not going to dumb it down. They're still going to make that scallion aioli and the sambal mayo and all the sauces you love, like still from scratch in-house every day. So, you know, I think the other thing is, you know, not that they asked me for my advice, but not that that's ever stopped me. I feel like there's got to be a simpler way to do that build your own order thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an iPad, maybe it's something, but I just, that process of like filling out the form every time, it's such an essential part of the Burger Chen experience. And I'm not sure I want to lose it, but it also just seems, really inefficient. Like there's got to be a better way to do that.
Yeah, I like that system. Mostly because I'm a real tactile person. So I'm like, ooh, fun. I get to check boxes. I love this. maybe there's just a way to like design that packaging so it's a little more delineated, so it's a little more clear maybe to new guests, or maybe clear to whoever's making it, or like someone who's smarter than I am knows how to do this, I promise. And so, but I don't want them to lose that like really interactive part of Burger Chen, because that kind of makes it fun. And then they put it on a little zip line and throw it down the line, and that's always fun to hear it like whizzing across. And Yeah, so
That's true. It's the sizzling Komal of the Burger Chan experience.
yeah, you gotta hear that. You're like, ooh, my milkshake is over there now. That's exciting. So yeah, I think bringing in an iPad to do all those orders, it would make me feel like I'm at like a really sad fast food restaurant where like human beings don't want to talk to each other. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but maybe there's a way to lay that thing out better, because it just, like, every time I look at it, like, I know what to look for because I've done it a bunch, but I just feel like it's.
Yeah, it might just be a matter of like beefing up the design of it, getting someone in there to kind of rearrange some things. I think it's worked for a long time, and obviously I know that myself and other fans of Burger King really want it to go away. So everything in restaurants, in my opinion, is all about like, okay, it's working, but how do we, oh, let's tweak it a little bit. Let's fine tune a little bit. Let's make it work a little bit better. And you just have to do that every single day.
Every
So
day, forever.
every day, forever. So hopefully some new, a new person coming into space. Sometimes they'll see things that you can't see anymore, and maybe that'll be one of those things, fine tuning that ordering process, fine tuning the prep training. Those are all good things for someone to focus on.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to topic number two, long weekend, which I am describing as a family-friendly cowboy-inspired restaurant. Has claimed the former King's Beer House and the Egg House space in Lazy Brook Timber Grove. This is being led by Andrew Alvis, who's also a partner in Wild, the kind of cannabis-friendly coffee shop and cafe. But they're really, like, if you remember King's Beer House, it had that big outdoor beer garden, which they're kind of transforming with a playground and a stage and a whole bunch of TVs. Whenever I kind of think about, like, the Heights and Timber Grove and Garden Oaks and Oak Forest, I always feel like family friendly is a good way to go. So I'm just going to say, like, as long as they get the, as long as the food is, like, kind of good enough, this seems like a total no-brainer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty, I mean, it makes sense. Also, why don't we have more cowboy-inspired things in Houston? Says me, the person who loves cowboy stuff, as which is a no surprise to anybody. But I think as long as the food is good, and I just one thing I want to say, it's nice to have family-friendly stuff in this neighborhood. I think, like you said, that's a no-brainer with Lazy Brook and Timber Grove right there, your next Garden Oaks, all that stuff went along 34th is and Garden Oaks is always crazy busy with family stuff. So it's nice to keep that in mind because especially right where this is, you have 20th and 19th so close with just like bars and bars and bars. But yeah, I think one thing I always say to big places like this, especially because what is this? This is going to be like 20,000 square foot patio, 8,000 indoor seats. Let's keep it simple, guys. Keep it simple. You're gonna, I don't want anyone to hurt themselves, like I think with a place so big, like, and you're and you wanna keep it nice but also do volume, like I know I saw in y'all's article they're gonna be doing steak, seafood, wild game, which is kind of like gonna be kind of like the little sister to Rainbow Lodge, which is just right across the street. But yeah, I think just keeping it simple. Not going too crazy with the foods, easy but good and well executed, and just keeping the vibe relaxing would be nice.
Yeah, and I think there's some kind of models for versions of this concept that kind of make sense, right? Like, obviously Cottonwood has kind of leaned into the kid-friendly thing over the years, and they've got steaks and burgers, and then, obviously Johnny Carrabba has done very well with Mia's Table. That's kind of one of those places where I can send my friends with kids, or even Loro, I think, is pretty family
Oh yeah,
friendly.
Laura does great. I mean, that self-serve ordering, it's good for parents for sure.
Yeah, so I think if this is like a slightly less fusion-y, like slightly more like West Texas Loro with a play, like Loro with a playground and chicken fried steak, I think, that's like 90% of it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to emphasize what you just said there. Less fusion-y, more West Texas. Less fusiony, but just give me a burger, give me a salad, give me a grilled vegetable, give me a steak. That sounds great.
I think, if the extent of the wild game is like,
yeah,
bacon wrapped quail, like,
great,
fine. Done and done.
Fine. Put a big potato on there, guys. Let's get crazy. I want to see some Texas. If we're going to go Texas, like, let's stick to that. Because I think, honestly, like, maybe people will think that's boring. Maybe people will think that's whatever. But I think it's, people are really focused on doing a lot all the time and everything all at once. And I'm like, all right, let's just, yeah, let's relax a little bit and just do a few things really well, you know? And I think it can be steaks and burgers and grilled vegetables and potatoes. And I know they're doing some like all day tacos and pastries. That's great too. But I think like keeping it chill, keeping it simple, focusing on like just executing good food and not trying to throw in all the bells and whistles that sometimes people do, I think will really bode well for them and give them a little bit of staying power in that area. Cause people want something a little predictable, especially when they're with kids.
No, that is certainly true. Yeah. You know, cause you know, like I know plenty of parents with kids who are adventurous eaters and eat all this kind of stuff, but I also know plenty of parents with kids who basically only like to eat chicken fingers and mac and cheese. And so like just keeping it simple with enough like reasonably good stuff for mom and dad so that they're not like completely bored by what they're eating. That sounds like a winning combo to me.
Yeah. And I think also it's good, especially if you have like, you know, if you're like parents meeting up with other parents and kids, like if you have a group or whatever, you can just be like, yeah, let's just get this for the kids. Like make it a little less decision fatigue, I guess, if you will, I think could help a lot. But this looks fun. I'm excited that something's going in that space. It's a little empty on that corner for a while. And I think, you know, it'll kind of join Rainbow Lodge and Cava Torre and Tony's on that whole little corner area over there, and that'll be really fun.
Yeah, and Presley's, which is kind of around the corner, yeah, has done that kind of comfort food family friendly thing pretty
great.
Well,
yeah,
and so you know this just kind of enhances that, and I think
agreed
it makes a ton of sense. And Andrew's like a big commercial real estate guy apart from being a partner in Wild, so I think he understands this stuff. I think they're going to do just fine. All right. And then topic number three, you know, I sort of alluded to this last week, but Jane Wilde has opened her new Jane and the Lion Bakehouse in the former Morningstar coffee space on North Main Street. This gives her a permanent home for her pastries and breads and pie and all kinds of other baked goods that she has been selling for the last few years at area farmers markets. You know, I've had Jane on the show a few times over the years. She's always an engaging guest, but I don't know, Chelsea, say something nice about Jane Wilde and her new home in the Heights.
Oh my gosh. What's not to say? I love her pastries. I have been the person waiting in that insane line for her stuff at the Heights Mercantile Market more than once. Because that line is always jammed with people. I don't know who's more popular, her or the lady who sells the flowers, but it's crazy over there. So this is super exciting. I mean, she already has a good following of people who love her pastries. I think that coffee space has always been great. And I don't know, is this fourth time's the charm? Fifth time's the charm? I don't know how many iterations we've gotten there, but I think Jane has some real staying power just because people really love her stuff and because it's good. And so I'm really excited for her to have a home that's not just at the farmer's market. So I hope they'll keep having a booth there because I know that's just always been such a lovely part of going to either the East Side or the Heights farmer's market.
Yeah, I can assure you, I talked to Jane, they're not, the farmer's market will always be part of her sales model, and she's very committed to that. So yes, you will continue to see her at the Heights Mercantile Market, the Rice Village Market, the Urban Harvest Market. But you know, I do like that you're going to be able to get this stuff day to day because that salted honey pie is such a huge winner. You know, when I went over there, it's strawberry season in Texas, so she's got her strawberry rhubarb pie going. They've got a bunch of gluten-free stuff. There's a very delicious-looking focaccia and focaccia sandwiches that I haven't had a chance to try yet. They're going to do, and, you know, not to get too lost in it, but She's a chef. I mean, I remember when
Yeah.
she was running the Dunleavy for Charles Clark and Grant Cooper. I mean, so there's hot stuff. There's, they're doing breakfast plates with local eggs and meat and cheese. And then, down the road, they'll do, pizzas. And she said she wants to do like hot grinders. So there's going to be a meatball sub at some
All
point.
right.
I am very excited.
Ooh,
about
I bet the bread on that's going to be crazy.
I bet the bread
that's
on that
exciting.
Is going to be banging. Yeah. If it's on that focaccia.
Yeah.
I mean,
or even if
sign
you
me
get
up.
Like a nice crunchy, what? Ooh, now I'm thinking about bread. This is good. I like where this is going.
Yeah. You know who made a good meatball sub is your friend, Seth Siegel Gardner at Passing Provisions back in the day.
I'm very positive he did.
I'm not saying Milton should open for lunch just to serve a meatball sub because that seems unrealistic, but more meatball subs.
More meatball subs. I know that is a platform I can get behind. More meatball subs. And I'm excited for Jane to explore those kinds of things because I think that's kind of a good area for it. I mean, there are quite a few restaurants actually around that area, but I think there's not really anything in that space because if I'm not mistaken, that Huey's is closed. So
the Huey's, yes, it closed. It moved to Far
yeah,
North Shepherd.
Right. So like that Huey's isn't there anymore. And it'd be nice to have something there. And there's not, other than Emma up the street, there's not like a coffee shop right in that space. So in that kind of area of the Heights.
Right. What's so interesting is that it was Emma kind of on an island,
yeah.
And then like within the last week, June added Third Place, their coffee shop, cafe, chef pop-up thing. And now Jane has opened, around the corner from there. And so I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden the Heights is like swimming in progressive daytime chef-driven concepts.
Well, I moved to the Heights at the right time because I'm enjoying the benefit of, well, a little outside the Heights. I'm enjoying the benefit of all these things. So really close to all three of those places. But I mean, I'm surprised there aren't more of these things in the Heights, to be perfectly honest. I mean, this is a great neighborhood for this kind of stuff, especially with how many people are living there now, how many young people with families, how many people are like visiting families. I mean, my friend owns a store on White Oak. And when I'm working there on Sundays, I feel like half the people that come in are like, oh, we're visiting. And I'm like, okay, well, there's so many places to go in the Heights. And you don't even need to leave the neighborhood. And I think having more of these businesses is always better for everyone because they all do something a little different. I mean, Emma obviously could wax poetic on and on about that place forever, about how good it is and how good the pastries are. And they're doing their own version of how they want to serve coffee with their food. And then Jane is going to do something a little different with her pastries. And then June is going to do something a little different with theirs and their coffee and their sort of idea of this third place. And I think that's really exciting. I think it's nice that they're all a little different, that they're homegrown, that they're independent, and that they've chosen to kind of all cluster in the same area of the neighborhood because I think it's an accessible price point for the Heights. It's not on White Oak or on 11th, so it's open for the taking.
And I do think this is kind of one of those like rising tide situations where, if you want that, I don't know, if you want that pork belly or the carrot taco or the berlinesa, like you'll go to Emma. And if you want a slice of pie and a cup of coffee or to buy pastries to take home, you'll go to Jane. And then if you want, whatever chef pop-up is going on there, I think Sue Kinn's about to start her residency at June, then you'll go to Third Place. And so, you can kind of pick your, depending on your craving. And I think people will naturally gravitate towards their favorites over time. But, and then somewhere in there, like Boomtown and Tenfold and some of the other coffee shops in the area, like will continue to be popular. And I just feel like this is like more is better in this situation.
I agree because that line at Tenfold is getting crazy. Let me tell you, it's rough getting in there.
Yeah. And that line at Emma is for real, especially on the
that
weekends.
Line at Emma is, I feel like you've got like at some point people are going to start having to pay rent in that line because it's crazy. So I'm
task rabbit to stand in line for you.
No, like for real. And someone could actually make a killing hustling that. But I think more coffee shops in the Heights in terms of like places you can actually like sit and eat and it's comfortable in there is great. I mean, I think there are plenty of places in the Heights to grab things, but more is always better. There's so many people in the Heights. There's so many people that want to visit the Heights and go there and have brunch, have breakfast, have lunch. Why not? You know, there's room for everybody.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Chelsea, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Perseid. This is Aaron Bluedorn's new French-inspired restaurant in the Hotel St. Augustine in Montrose. Obviously, we talked about this when it happened. Aaron and his business partner, Sharif, came on the show and talked about it quite a bit. But we haven't really talked about what it was like to eat there, which, you know, considering it opened in January, I'm getting a little behind schedule on that. But I don't know. Start wherever you want. Start with your kind of first impressions of the room at Perseid and kind of how you feel about it being part of the Hotel St. Augustine.
Well, first of all, it's gorgeous. Good God, it's a pretty place. I mean, you walk into the restaurant through this giant door into like a buttercream colored room with red marble. Oh my God, it's like my dream. They built the room for me, I think. Because the second I walked in there, I was like, oh God, yes, more of this all the time. It's just this beautiful, beautiful space. And that's just the host stand. Okay. So then, you know, you walk out into the dining room. It's got this gorgeous bar with the same stone. There's just beautiful touches everywhere. Molded ceilings, giant curtains, big banks of windows, beautiful upholstered benches. I mean, they really, yeah, an interior freak like me could just live in that room. It was so great. So, you know, they hooked me, you know, on the packaging. I'm in, I'm there, I'm seated and ready for dinner. You know what I mean? So it's beautiful to sit in there. I think that hotel is great. I think the vernacular of it really matches that area of Montrose. It fits in super well. And I mean, I think that other than going and having dinner at Clum d'Or, you know, this is kind of anachronistic for Houston. You're not going to go to a lot of hotels here and have a great meal, you know? So I think it's kind of feels novel, and that's also really exciting.
Yeah, you know, there's a contrast between Perseid and Chardon, which is the French restaurant that just opened at the Thompson. And the Chardon, you enter, like it's right there by the valet stand. You can walk to it. It's very accessible from the street. And Perseid, it's not hidden in any way. And it's not like the Hotel St. Augustine is this huge sprawling property by any stretch of the imagination. But you do have to go into the hotel. You know, maybe it's 100 yards or 150 yards or whatever from the entrance gate. But it is that kind of escape from the city. Like you are in kind of a different environment, and so it does kind of set that stage for, you know, your like your mood, it kind of, you know, you're somewhere a little bit different, right? And you're around travelers and people from out of town, and who knows kind of what's going on at the hotel on any given night. And I think that's kind of an interesting component of this too.
Yeah, I like that you walk in and just like you have to walk through the beautiful gardens that they put in at Augustine that I know will grow in and just be gorgeous. Across those like almost boardwalks that go over some of the gardens.
Yeah, there's like catwalk kind of.
Yeah, it's really it really resets and reframes like your whatever attitude you came in with off the street, you know, which is I think essential for restaurants. Sometimes you can just walk in and grab a thing and go, but I think for a place like this, you know, there's a bit of a lead in, a calm down, a miniature forest bathing experience that you get before you walk into the restaurant, which is fabulous. And I think that it really sets the stage for a relaxing meal, which is nice.
All right. And then let's talk about the food a little bit. You know, this is, Aaron obviously came to Houston after working for Cafe Bleu for a long time, Michelin starred French restaurant. And I think, to some extent, I think some people have been kind of waiting for him to do French food, right? They don't really do it at Bluedorn, not at Navy Blue, certainly not at Bar Bluedorn. But you have that here. You have the escargot with the puff pastry, the vol-au-vent. You have the duck terrine. You have, some of the other dishes on the menu, the eclair for dessert. And so, I know you've been, you're a big Bar Bluedorn fan. You were sort of more skeptical of Bluedorn. So where does Perseid slot for you in terms of the food experience?
This is great. You really, these are the hard questions, Eric. I loved it. I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic, classic French food. Obviously, there's some riffs here and there, some things that are a little different. But I thought it was fabulous. I like that it really kind of zeroed in on being French and not like American French hybrid. And I think I would put this, I mean, this is, I love Bar Bluedorn and Bluedorn a lot. I think this is just right up there with them, and I, it's the room that's putting it up there. I just the way that it, I will admit my bias and say the interiors are really beautiful, so it's pushing it for me. But I loved that it was simple. I loved that it was classic, but I loved that it was just a little rustic and like the chicken Bayard. I thought it was really fantastic. I really appreciated all the details. I thought the cocktails were wonderful. And I think that unlike Bluedorn and Bar Bluedorn, which Bar Bluedorn definitely can get more into the very rich side of things, which is great. Which is great. I like that. But sometimes, you want a little balance. And I think Perseid hits that. I mean, there are a lot of great herbal notes, vegetable notes, really green stuff popping in and out, things that were sort of just balancing out what could be rich flavors. And I that's sort of more in tune with what I like. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked about this menu is that, if you're running a hotel restaurant, there are kind of staples, because you have to kind of appeal to people with a broad range of tastes. So, you mentioned the chicken Paillard, which I want to revisit, but they're doing wild boar bolognese, which is not a French dish by any stretch of the imagination, but it's done with a lot of integrity. It's meaty and satisfying, and the pasta is, fresh and cooked al dente, and it was a very, it was a very generous portion, frankly. Like, we ordered it kind of as a, almost as a side to our entree, and it worked really well, I thought, in that context. And then, that chicken Paillard with the fingerling potatoes and the tomato and the fennel salad, it's basically just pure comfort. And there's a lot of kind of generic chicken dishes. Like, again, you're a hotel restaurant, you have to have some chicken, something on the menu for people. But this kind of shows that you can do that with some integrity, and it still works in the context of everything else they've got going on over there.
Yeah, they took everything that you need for a good hotel restaurant that sort of meets a bunch of different restrictions and desires, and they sort of squashed it through the Aaron Bluedorn filter, and I think it came out really well on the other side. I think it's elegant, which I really appreciate. I think that they also made elegant food, just like you said, very comforting. I mean, even the Cajun stuff. Squash blossoms with a little bit of spice, but then it had that super, super punchy green sauce with it. I mean, I was like, oh, this reminds me of like the food I ate, eating Cajun food as a kid, but sort of like shoved through this a bit more of a fine dining lens and balancing a lot of those spicy flavors. And I just was really in love with it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's so smart about this menu, and kind of shows, Aaron's evolution as a chef and restaurateur, right? 5 years ago when Bluedorn opened, they would not have done jambalaya stuffed squash blossoms. They hadn't developed a facility with those kind of Cajun Creole flavors. But now they've been in Houston for a while and they've hired more people who grew up here and are comfortable with that stuff. And so it's a no-brainer and it's delicious. And maybe I mean the chicken was probably my single favorite thing, but those jambalaya squash blossoms were fantastic. And I wouldn't hesitate to order either one of them again.
Those were definitely my favorite, because I think it was just like a real mastery of balancing something spicy with something green with something a little salty. And I think that was sort of the wonderful thing about dinner there, was just this lovely introduction to all of the textures and pairings that group could kind of get together. You know, a little bit of a slightly thickened sauce with the chicken, you know, this mostarda and something sweet with the duck terrine. Everything just sort of was placed just so, and I think really paired well with whatever protein or vegetable it was going with. And I think that I had a really appreciation for like the technique of what was happening at dinner there. I don't think I would say it was the most amazing meal I've ever had, but it was a comforting meal. And I really appreciated that. And I can imagine if you're at a hotel, you're not at home, you want dinner. If it's comforting, like that has got to be so centering. If you're, especially if you've been traveling, that's got to be really wonderful to experience. So I think that if that was their goal, then they definitely achieved it. And if not, that's a great bonus for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I just want to wrap up with just a couple quick observations about the desserts because, they're doing an eclair with a raspberry ganache and pistachio ice cream that I really enjoyed. And then, you see the beignets on the menu and you're like,
Yeah,
donuts or
grown.
fried dough or whatever. But there's something about they were so crispy and so
Yeah.
light. And that berry coulis in the middle is so tart. It just comes together so well.
I literally ate my words with that one, because I was like, beignet, snore. We got them, and I was like, this might be the most beautiful, fluffy piece of heaven I've ever put in my mouth. I love it so much. I was having a real rendezvous affair with those. I don't know. Something was going on between me and that beignet, let me tell you. And I didn't expect that, and I was very happy about it.
All right. Any other thoughts on Perseid?
I think just, yeah, I think don't go there expecting flash and, you know, pomp and circumstance. Go there for something comforting, classic, and a little low key, you know?
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that's well said, right? For the big blowout occasion, I think Bluedorn is really hard to beat, but for that kind of low key weeknight dinner, or even like a kind of a fun date night, because that room is so pretty, and you've got the lounge, the Augustine Lounge at the hotel. You can kind of do like drinks there either before or after. I just think,
I think this is a good place to linger. If you're a lingerer, if you like to chat at dinner, you don't want to be rushed around, you don't want to be in a space that's busy or crazy or loud, this is a great place to go. It's very, very comforting and relaxing in there, and lovely. So blow out somewhere else. Here, just a great meal.
I think that's a good way to wrap this up. That does it for the Restaurant of the Week. Chelsea Thomas, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Nick Adair and Katie Barnhart of Adair Concepts.